This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about this show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
It's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to episode 213. We don't count them anymore, but officially.
Yes, you do, every time. What episode are we? And Jimmy and I never know.
But we have to, so we keep going.
Okay.
We're 213 today.
I completely believe you. Don't say we're not counting when we clearly are counting.
Anyways, great fight weekend for boxing. We do have to talk Ward Kovalev here in a second. But we got a good couple guests in studio with us. We have Tommy Benasco and Mickey Marsak. Is that how you pronounce it? All right. Man, you know it's Thanksgiving week if I'm nailing names right.
It's like a Thanksgiving miracle.
Exactly. An angel just got his wings. So
if you're playing the drinking game.
Look, I can even say the Lomachenko. Ooh, I'm on fire today.
Gesundheit.
No, that's right. So we'll start off talking Kovalev Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the show, we'll talk Lomachenko versus Walters. And we'll talk about negative knockouts 8. We'll mix that in a little bit with our first guest, Mickey, in a few seconds here. But we got to start off and talk about the fight that happened Saturday night, the biggest boxing match of the year. Kind of disappointing because it seems to me that everybody that watched the fight had Kovalev winning. I wasn't actively keeping score, but I thought when the decision was made and Ward had gotten the decision immediately, I went back and rewatched the fight after I got home.
You did watch the correct fight, right?
I did.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Because Jimmy, I don't know where he is, but he's convinced that you guys didn't see the same fight. Maybe he watched the wrong fight.
Yeah, he's not here to defend himself because he ate Taco Bell earlier. But if he didn't eat Taco Bell and he was here to defend himself, we could actually have a discussion. But he's taking care of business right now.
Is that what he's doing?
He's doing something in there. Anyways, I'm just going to give my thoughts, as we've done since we've been on the air for 4. Good fight. Regardless of the outcome, good fight. Kovalev hits Ward in the second round with a short punch. I think it was a right. Finally, Andre Ward admitted that he was hurt from the punch. If you look at the punch on the highlights, Kovalev didn't really quite turn the punch over. I think if he did, I don't know if Ward gets up from that. It kind of jammed Ward, and he went down. And that's the power that we knew Sergey Kovalev had. From there, though, there wasn't too many opportunities for Kovalev to get another knockdown. His jab was consistently going through Andre Ward's guard. He looked incredible. I will admit, there was a part in the fight, though, where Andre Ward looked like he was making a little bit of a comeback. But how it works, because Marv, I know you don't watch boxing, so I'll explain it to you.
No, please.
You actually put your score, and then the ref comes around and he grabs the score.
Okay? Right.
So using that principle, you don't see what you've done cumulatively. So Sergey should have had a huge lead by the time that Andre Ward was making this little bit of a comeback. And to everybody's surprise, all three judges come back 114 to 113. Now, I admit that in a close fight, maybe Andre Ward could have won. But my theory on this, in covering boxing now 6-7 years, just because it was close doesn't mean it's still the right decision. The right decision, I believe, was Sergey Kovalev. Larry Merchant, I'll have to grab his quote really quick, but Larry Merchant, who will be in the Boxing Hall of Fame, he was a little bit more upset about it than I believe I was. And I'll have to find his quote here in a second. But
well, why do you think that the decision should have gone the other way?
I thought
specifics. Give me some Liz, help out here. Give me specifics. There it is.
Besides the he won more rounds?
I want to know, like, specifically, like why, like, what made you think, like, why did he win all those rounds? Why did you give him more rounds? Why did you give him, like, why do you think he won the fight? I want to know, like, did he land more punches? Did he just look better? Like, what?
No, that's the funny thing. When you went to the stats, Andre Ward's stats were typically better, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything. I just think that he controlled the fight with the rounds. I think when Andre Ward got in there, there was a little bit of clinching. There was a little bit. I just had Sergey winning it, and I thought by a bigger margin than most people. But let's go really quickly. It wasn't Larry Merchant. I'm sorry. It's Al Bernstein, even another guy that's heading to the Hall of Fame. He said, observations on tonight's fight. Number one, Andre Ward showed he's a terrific fighter by coming back to be competitive after a very rocky first four rounds. So there you go. He's basically saying Kovalev won the first four rounds. Two, I picked Ward to win this fight, and I was wrong. He lost even though the judges say otherwise. Three, two of the judges had the first four rounds for Kovalev, then scored only one more round for Sergey. Absurd to say he only won one of the last eight rounds. Four, the knockdown should have been the difference in the fight. The best you can do for Andre is make it 6-6 in the rounds. That would have been 114-113 Kovalev. I see giving Andre one of the first four rounds, but even then he would have to win six of the last eight to win decision. I just don't see that. Kellerman said this was not a bad decision, just a controversial one. I disagree. Because of how hard it is to get to a Ward win with that knockdown and quick start for Kovalev, I would call this a bad decision. Five, the fight itself was well fought and very interesting. Not a fight of the year candidate, but a very, very good fight. That's exactly – I mean, if I could organize my thoughts and actually put them down, it'd be pretty close to Al Bernstein's. This coming from a guy who writes for Fight News.
I was just thinking.
But it would have been something very similar to that. You know, Sergey was – I'd like to call it putting points in the bank. And
see, I agree with you up to a certain time, but after a while – I think Ward going to the body really slowed down Sergey. He was missing a lot. He wasn't controlling as much. I think Ward was controlling more towards the latter rounds. And I think if you went round by round and you didn't look at like punch scores, you didn't look at like thrown tallies or anything like that. If you went round by
round,
if you didn't look
at anything that makes score.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is like Kovalev had threw more punches and landed more punches. If you look at it just in the amount, but all those were in the beginning, where Ward threw more towards the end.
So
that the tallies were higher for Kovalev, but I think Ward won the fight. Because he took it, he took more rounds.
So you're saying Kovalev won the popular vote,
but yes,
but Ward got the Electoral College.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that. There you go.
A lot of that going around.
You also have a 10-8 round though. Kovalev knocked down Ward. I mean, that's typically in a close fight. That's going to be the difference maker. I understand what Al's saying there. Regardless, there's going to be a rematch. Some things I was disappointed about with Kovalev. Let's start off right there. One, you backed off a little bit. You wanted to keep the distance in the fight. That's where you think your power comes from. But me being just a boxing fan, I know that true punching power can come from the inside too. I don't know why Kovalev was not happy with Andre Ward wanting to have the fight inside. It seemed like they would be shorter, crisper punches, but it seems like the power would be there. I think it for the rematch, definitely Sergey has to allow Ward in there and do damage, not want to reset and have Andre Ward on the outside. Besides that, I thought Kovalev fought a good fight. Ward, on the other hand, a little bit late of a start. You could tell that he's never fought power like Kovalev, but a tremendous heart. I mean, you can't teach that. Here's a guy that I have doubted a lot because of contract disputes and not fighting a lot, but he proved to me that the kid has heart.
Right, and that's another example is, yeah, he got knocked down, but he
– Did he get up again?
We're not doing Chumbawamba.
Can you ever keep him down, though?
Yeah, well, not Kovalev.
Okay.
But, yeah, he got knocked down, but I think that he stuck with his game plan. He went to the body. He controlled the fight. He took some of that those fast jabs away from Kovalev. And, yeah, I don't think he was expecting that power, but I don't think it scared him as much as most people thought it would.
So this leads us to my rankings for top 10 pound for pound, which will come out at the end of November. And then we've been doing this forever. This will be the first time since Pacquiao and Mayweather, so back when the undercard was first a radio show, that I'm actually going to give number one to Ward and Sergey Kovalev. My theory is I believe Kovalev won, but I also believe Andre Ward, I'm going to honor the decision. So we're going to skip from one, and the next position would be three, Canelo. We have to see what happens this weekend before my complete December pound for pound comes out. But I have people tied right now. It's Andre Ward tied with Sergey Kovalev. I think they both deserve to be there. Obviously, Andre Ward got the decision from the judges, but I think a lot of people believe Sergey had won it. So we have a tie at the top of my pound for pound rankings, which are important because we do give the honor out at the end of the year. So we might have a tie. So it's just the way it's going to be. But there will be a rematch, hopefully in March. Hopefully Ward doesn't get injured or something happen where this fight does not happen. A couple things that also surprised me. And this is random. Three American judges.
Yeah, that was
when you have
weird.
a European, you'd probably like to see one European judge in there just in case there is a little bit of funny business. And then I guess, you know, it's a shame this fight wasn't more decisive because boxing always has freaking conspiracies and always has problems. And, you know, once again, our great sport was on everybody's mind. People wanted to see this fight, and it might not have been the right decision. So, you know, I don't want to say another black eye in boxing or anything like that. It wasn't that bad, but I do feel for Kovalev, who's never had a loss, who's had a draw before but never had a loss. I think he won, you know. And then there is something to be said about this really quickly here. If you're the champion, the old little thing around the gym that I used to hear is that you have to steal it from the champion. I mean, you have to really win it. So if these are close rounds and how I understand the fight game, you typically are supposed to go with the champion. The challenger has to prove that he is better than the champion. So when these rounds are close, from the way I learned the game, Andre Ward would have to dominate those rounds to get him.
See, and that might be where we differ because I didn't have that mentality watching it. I'm two boxers. I don't care what you've done in the past. Screw the past. I don't care if you're the champ. You're getting in there, and you must win against the other person, whether you're the champ or whether you're not.
But if it's a tie, just say at the end of the round.
If it's a tie at the end of the round, it goes to the champ.
Okay. That's right. What I'm saying. But if it's that close, you got to go Kovalev.
On some of the rounds, yes. On other rounds, I thought Ward took it.
Yeah, I was really disappointed when the stats came out, and it looked like if you look at the stat sheet, you would say, oh, Ward clearly won that. But then having gone back and watched the fight a few times, I do sincerely believe Kovalev. Another thing, we did have some friends in the audience and stuff like that. People were chanting SOG, which is Andre Ward's nickname.
Moniker.
Yeah, throughout the fight, and they booed the decision. So it was a very proud Andre Ward crowd, but from people that were in the stands, they admit the decision didn't go over too well.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like Andre Ward was surprised when he heard his name.
It did.
Max Kellerman asked him.
Yeah.
He said, it looked like you didn't think you were going
to
win.
Well, I mean, he had to know that it was close. He had to know that it was close.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, maybe he thought, well, there's a possibility, but they're probably going to give it to Kovalev because he's a champion and conspiracy theories and Illuminati and all that kind of stuff, and then he was surprised.
To do with it. We had nothing.
Yeah, you did.
No, we didn't.
I saw your ballot. It fell out of your pocket.
We don't even care, dude.
And I don't know why I'm really complaining.
Just in case you're wondering why he's saying that, he's a Mason. So, yeah,
I'm the worshipful master of my lodge.
For what about Mason. Another? Well, about another two months?
No, like 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Oh, okay.
December 16th.
That's fast.
December 16th. I'm out of there.
I don't even know why I'm complaining because it gives us something to talk about over the next 4 months.
Right.
So, I mean, it was that close. You know, when this stuff happens, it's good for media. So, whatever. We'll move on. Even though I think Sergey Kovalev won the fight. So, we got to look ahead. Look ahead.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Also, Thursday.
Is Thanksgiving.
No, last Thursday.
Last Thursday. The week before Thanksgiving.
It was night of knockouts. I'm just going to go through some of the results here really quick. Some stuff that impressed me, and then we're going to bring in our first two guests. First off, if you guys read what I wrote on Fight News, a lot of this is going to come as no shock, but we're going to run through it really quick. Anthony Sims looked very impressive against Rayco Saunders. Rayco Saunders was in the movie Southpaw with Jake Gyllenhaal. He was one of the boxers there.
Okay.
He had over 53 professional fights, but Anthony Sims continues to impress. Look good. Fought a guy with a lot of experience. Can't complain. Taylor Gray Durr from Scorpion Fighting Systems beat Michael Shipp, who actually fights under Michael Hernandez to honor his family.
Okay. Wait, is this the same Mike Hernandez who fights?
No. Okay. Different. Right. But Michael Hernandez / Michael Shipp. Loses to Taylor Durr, loses uppercut knockout fashion. Taylor is actually fighting Wednesday down in Columbus for our friend Troy, who throws shows down there in Columbus, Ohio. So good luck on 2-0 there. Kevin White beat John Amerson. Stephanie Spihar beats Figaro Widnelli from Wisconsin. That was fight of the night. Really quickly, I'll talk about this fight. Stephanie had gotten two standing eight counts against Figaro. So that's basically knockdowns where she's not fighting back and she gets the eight counts. And then going into the last round, her opponent knocks her through the ropes. So she goes down one. And it was a close fight to begin with. I mean, you could tell Stephanie was winning, but it was close. Mm-hmm. So it was a good decision. Stephanie wins. Daryl Cunningham wins by knockout. Isaiah Jones, who is making his debut, he was our Golden Gloves champion, was one of our Golden Gloves champions, who has a massive championship ring now from the Golden Gloves, which is awesome. He does. He looked good. Winford Harris looked good. We're going to talk about Mickey Marsek in 1 second, but he went against Marcus Wheeler and won by knockout. And then so we got to talk a main event. Robert Sims versus Craig Lewis. If you guys read what I wrote on fightnews.com, this decision was worse than the Kovalev decision, easily. Robert Sims is a guy from Saginaw, Michigan, who is a lot smaller than Craig Lewis, who through six rounds at least won 5-1 in the rounds. I give Craig Lewis probably winning the last round, at worst 4-2 in the favor of Robert Sims. He controlled the fight. His jab was fast. His head movement was unbelievable. Craig Lewis was basically he was the smaller fighter, even though he was the bigger fighter. I mean, Robert Sims looked like the bigger fighter in the fight. The decision comes down. Everyone boos. And I have to write about it. And poor Robert Sims gets his first loss. He's now 3-1 versus Craig Lewis, stays undefeated at 12-0-1. Wasn't really happy with that decision. I hate to see that happen to somebody. Talked to Robert Sims after. He's thinking about moving down from heavyweight to maybe cruiserweight. But for being such a big guy, he is super fast. Did you get to see that? Really quickly, I'm going to talk to my guests here. Tommy, did you get to see that fight?
Yes, we did. Saw it before we were leaving.
Who'd you have?
I had Sims. I'm right. With you.
Dominated.
Dude, dominated and pushed the bigger guy around the ring.
All right, so, fast. Good head movement.
Head movement and jab, man. It's a dangerous thing.
Right. What about you, Mickey? You see the fight?
I seen a little bit of it, but what I heard is they thought Sims had it. So,
always disappointing because I look at it as that, you know, that means so much at this stage, a record, and it shouldn't. But I wish Robert Sims the best, and so I got to write about that on Fight News. And then, of course, when you write about something like that in Fight News, you get all this hate sent your way.
And everyone has a fan base.
That's right, and. You know, I don't know. It made it for an interesting article, so I was happy to write it. So episode 213, let me introduce us to our guests. We're going to start off with Tommy Benasco, and then we're going to talk to Mickey Marsek, who is an undefeated boxer, just got his 1-0 pro debut. But let's start off with Tommy really quick. You might not want to go down memory road, but we got to talk about this. The scariest thing I've ever seen in boxing, my friend.
Yep.
And I've been around the sport a long time. This was July 22nd. I was asked to cover a fight down in Toledo, Ohio.
Of this year?
Of this year.
Okay. Yep.
And you were going against Roy Behringer.
Yep.
Roy connected with you. Wasn't that great of a shot after looking at it. I think it looked better. You went down I remember thinking that was a pretty good knockout. I've known you for a while. I've known Todd Ali for a while, and it looked like you were laying there for a little bit. Wanted your gloves off, and then all of a sudden, it looked like the worst happened in the ring.
Yeah.
tell us exactly what happened now that you know what happened.
Well, you know, going back and, you know, kind of playing it back in your mind, seeing the video kind of helps clear it up, hearing what you said to people and whatnot. Warming up, like, my body just didn't really feel right. Like, I felt like, you know, it was the first time I had my dad come down and corner me, like, for this is my 37th fight, something like that. So I had my dad down there. I'm like, oh, you know, it's just going to be a fun little, you know, fight down in Toledo. You know, Roy's a tough kid. I'm like, we'll entertain the crowd. And, you know, I told him beforehand, I'm like, went up, shook his hand, really nice guy. So, you know, I just wasn't warming up right. But I'm like, oh, it's just got me nerves. You know, dad's here. It is what it is. Go out there and, like, threw my first combination. Like, after I threw it, I was like, man, I cannot breathe. I can't feel my hands. Like, you can see on the video, I'm, like, kind of backing away, like, after throwing punches. And then, I mean, all of a sudden, like, you feel your chest tighten up, and I'm like, wow, I really can't feel my hands. So once he hit me, I just kind of dropped to my knees and was like, all right, you take, you know, your 8 seconds, you know, you'll get your blood flowing. And I just couldn't get back up. Like, all of a sudden, everything starts getting dizzy, and told my manager, I'm like, get my gloves off. I thought, you know, I just needed to cool down, and he just, you know, they put me on the stool. I just kept telling him I want to go home. Next thing you know, I woke up in the hospital room looking at my brother, and saw a lot of stuff in between, but, you know.
How tough was it, first off, for you to watch that?
It was awful. I mean, you hear, like, what happened, and then you see it, and you're like, damn. Like, you see my back going to spasms, and, yeah, it sucks.
I can't say enough how scary it was to see it. So Buckeye Cable was actually going to run the fight. And they had agreed, and we had talked with me and Bob Ryder that we weren't going to show it. Yep. I wasn't going to write the story until I knew you were okay. Yep. I went to the hospital. I went to the wrong hospital, first off, they told me.
Yeah.
Then I went to the Toledo General Hospital. Is it Toledo?
Yep.
To check on you. And at that time, they didn't know anything about you. But I started reaching out to Todd Ali.
Yep.
I reached out to Joseph Pataglia. Joe hadn't heard it about it. But the key thing is I wasn't going to write the article. And I told Bob Ryder until I knew you were okay because I didn't want any of your family to find out.
Right. I appreciate that.
But it was a scary 9 minutes, I believe, in the ring.
Yeah. My heart was stopped for 9 minutes. And the thing that kept me here is Todd Ali doing CPR. If he wouldn't have been doing CPR, like, my heart wasn't beating. I didn't have a pulse. So the EMTs actually were guys there watching their buddy Dre Ware, who's a pro fighter, was fighting, like, the fight after me. They were just in the crowd, ran out to their car, got the defibrillator, brought it in, and they didn't want to let him in the ring. And, like, Todd, like, you know, was looking at my dad, like, you know, I don't know what to do. And my dad, like, you know, helped them get them in the ring, and they got the defibrillator hooked up on me and brought me back from wherever I was. I don't remember, you know, I remember, like, you know, what woke me up, you know, I saw these women talking about my daughter. So, you know, had to come back and tell them, you know, she's only 2 months old.
Wow.
So, you know, I woke up in the hospital room, looked around, didn't really know where I was. Saw my brother, like, sitting on the bed, and I'm like, Mikey, like, what are you doing here? Like, because, you know, you just kind of popped back to life, and he's just like, you're in the hospital, man. I'm like, why are we, you know, what are we doing here? And, you know, I kind of got filled in, and you know, everything started making a little more sense. All the people I was seeing, and all the things you're hearing, but there's definitely something else after this.
Well, let me ask you this question. You said that what woke you up was some women talking about your daughter. Did you recognize any of the women?
I mean, you're kind of just in a warm, like, floating place, and I mean, literally, I see these women talking about my daughter, like, almost like I'm, like, seeing it from, like, above. And I was like, I just got to get down there and tell them, you know, because they were asking, like, they were talking to each other about how old she was. And I'm like, you know, I got to let them know she's only two, not even 2 months old. So
were these actually women in the room?
Or? No.
Okay.
I mean, when I came to and told my mom that, she's like, no women, yeah, nobody, none of the nurses knew you had a daughter. So I don't know who I was seeing, but.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the, so you, when you blacked out, you don't remember anything about the resuscitation?
I don't remember about getting resuscitated and all that. I remember seeing stuff while I was out, but, you know, I don't like talking about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that.
It wasn't fun, man. Yeah. Worst part about, like, it all is, like, you're not afraid, like, while it's happening. It's like you don't realize, you know, what's happening to you until they bring you back, and you're like, damn, man, like, that's where I was, and I was comfortable being there. So you don't want to go back.
I'm sorry, I don't want to dwell on it, because I know you said you don't, but, like, I mean, did it feel like it was a dream, or did it feel like you were somewhere?
It felt like I was somewhere. Like, I was conscious, and I felt warm. Like, that was, like, the big thing. It's like, I felt like my body was, like, warm, and everything was, white and comfortable, and you're seeing people that you haven't seen, and, I mean,
well, that was going to be a lot of shit. That was going to be a next question. Did you see anybody there? Okay.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, but the thing is, it's like, it's not weird to see them. You know, it's just like, you saw them just the other day, but you haven't, like, when you wake up, you're like, fine, I haven't seen them in years, you know?
Right.
So what seems as a very unlucky event actually turned out to be a lucky event because you had an underlying condition that had passed through sports physicals, which I'll let you say it.
Yeah, it's hypocardiomyopathy. Oh. You hear the advertisements now for it on the radio. Every year, like, one or two high school kids goes down with it. And everyone's like, you know, why didn't they get to see him? It's an enlarged heart, so.
Yeah.
And we talked really quickly, Jimmy, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
We talked really quickly how lucky you were that it did happen with Dre Ware's people in there. Because if you mentioned if you were cutting lawn or something like this, and this was a strike.
Anywhere else, and nobody has a defibrillator. You're even at the gym. I mean, and if they don't have a defibrillator at the gym, I mean, unless people do CPR until the ambulance gets there to shock you.
Well, that was going to be my other question. So this brings up an interesting point. How many gyms do you think have A, defibrillators, and B, have somebody there who knows how to use a defibrillator?
Not a whole lot. I've been to a lot of gyms. I mean, it's like a lot of them are, you know, it's expensive to run a gym, you know, like rent, you know, getting kids to pay dues and all that. So, I mean, defibrillators kind of low on the totem pole as things they need to get. But,
well,
I tell it, like, after it happened, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Mikey Galanos, I don't know if you guys know Mikey from the MMA world and whatnot, but, I mean, he went and got his heart checked out. You need to get an echocardiogram. I mean, it's more or less they take the picture of your heart and let you know, but it's an expensive test. But, you know, if you have an enlarged, you know, lower half of your heart, I mean, it may come into play.
And this is something I just want to put out, and this goes to anybody who's listening who might own and operate a gym right now, because we're talking to, a boxer who went down because of this condition. And AEDs, or they're called automatic external defibrillators, can save a life. Yep. And a lot of gyms, like you said, you don't see a lot. They are, I know it's, you know, money's tight at some of these gyms, but $200, you can actually get an AED and you put it in your gym. And it's very simple to use. I was a medic in the military. All you do is you turn it on, you put it on the patient, and that's it. And then the thing will actually tell you shock or do not shock. You don't have to do anything beyond that except press a button, and it could save a life. So
that's amazing.
If you are listening, if you are a gym operator owner, if you are a trainer, if you are anybody, an AED, $200, it might actually save a life.
And more important, though, too, Jimmy, is that this should be part of the screening for a boxer and MMA fighter.
Yes. And that was going to get to next.
We require hepatitis vaccinations, and we require all this thing. Tommy, moving away from the event, before that, there was warning signs. You always thought your cardio wasn't right.
Yeah,
I always
just thought it was cardio. I was like, I just got to work harder, You know, it's like, plus, you know, I've fought a lot of MMA, so I thought, you know, oh, I was just tired from the weight cut, you know, blah, blah, blah. But every now and then, I'd see the spots, you know, and I'd get my heart rate up, passed out, you know, once or twice, but never really thought anything of it. Like, I was a kid, like, I would throw up every single practice but I thought it was just because I was pushing myself hard, but in reality, it's like, no, you're about to pass out and your body's trying to warn you, so.
Wow. And we're happy that everything's worked out, and you found a new calling. You've always cornered people with Todd Ali and stuff, but now obviously your fight career is over. But you're training people, and this is when we're going to bring in Mickey Marsack. You had a pro debut. Couldn't have a better venue in Michigan here for a pro debut because I love the soundboard. You went against Marcus Wheeler, who has a little bit of experience. I think Marcus gave you a pretty good first round. He gave you a little bit of work.
Yeah, he made me move around a little bit. Yeah, so.
Made you work for it a little bit. And then the second round, you took care of business. Tell us a little bit about your first fight, your first thoughts.
You know, I was just going in there and just, you know, I was the taller fighter, so I was really just trying to use my range, stay long on my punches, and, you know, basically just wear the guy out for a round or two and then really, you know, more or less just get in there and start putting my hands on him, you know, once it got later in the rounds, overwhelm him a little bit.
Right. You were the second fight to the last, like almost the co-main event. Would you rather got it up or early over it? In the middle of the fight? Yeah, that's rare for a pro.
Thinking about it from now, I'm happy now that I was the co-main event. I mean, that's pretty sweet. But the day I was ready to just fight first and get the fight over with. You know, I would have been happy with being the first fight of the night.
Now, I got to tell you, I am a little biased. I like your team. I like Todd Ali. He's a great guy. I love Tommy. Obviously, me and Tommy, you know, having witnessed what he went through, I imagine that Tommy's going to be a guy root for his whole life, and we've developed a little bit of friendship on the side when we see each other.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, you got a great team. Mash Gym's been around for a long time.
Oh yeah,
I think I've moved around the state of Michigan, and Mash Gym has always been there. Tell us about we know about Todd. We know about Todd Ali. Tell us about working out at Mash Gym, which is an MMA gym and boxing gym. What makes you feel like home there? What do you learn from those guys?
Man, I learn every day from those guys. I mean, I'm in there, I'm doing jiu-jitsu, I'm doing sparring, I'm doing wrestling. I mean, every day I go in, I'm learning something new from these guys. You know, I'm always getting yelled at, and if I'm not getting yelled at, it's not right. So I'm not learning anything. So it's good. Tommy's definitely been helping me out, tightening my game up.
Right.
So...
Tommy, from your experience in MMA and in pro boxing, as you got somebody like Mickey now who's turned pro, what advice can you give them as it goes along? Because the sport's so crazy.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a wild business to be in. But I mean I've known about Mickey for years, like before we started training like together last 3 years. But Mickey was always a tough kid with a ton of cardio and get in there and be a little wild. And, I mean, me and Todd would see him at fights and be like, you know what, if we could just calm this kid down a little bit, you know, we'd really have something. And now that we're straightening the hands out, getting him on the right game plan, I mean, sky's the limit as far as, you know, like, Mickey's concerned. I mean, get his weight under control, make him a lean, mean cardio machine, yep. And Mickey can just push on people. Like, he may not be the cleanest technical kid, but, I mean, he's going to grind on you for 3 rounds. And, I mean, if you're still going at that 15th minute, hey, tip of the cap to you. But, I mean, not many people are.
Right. You fought at 160 the other day. What do you walk at normally? You mentioned weight.
God, I'm already back at 180.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm walking to probably about 180.
And you're a smaller guy, so you're probably going to want to fight around 160 and stuff like that. How difficult
was that? Most of my amateur career, I fought at 155. I had a couple random catch weights fighting at 170. My debut fight, I decided to take at 170. And then basically cut back down, and my last two fights were at 160. The goal is to get back down to 155.
Okay. And how was your first pro weight cut? Because it is different than amateurs in which that you get weighed the day of. You get to rehydrate. You get to actually eat the meal. How was your first weight cut? Did it go well?
First weight cut ever, I fought at 170, so I really didn't have much weight to cut.
Uh-huh.
Just the training camp alone pretty much cut me down to where I needed to be. Last two fights, cutting to 160. Really just, you know, cleaning up my diet for a few weeks and, you know, just training hard, hitting the cardio.
Right. I always have to defend MMA people when they enter boxing. The true old school boxing fan thinks this is the worst thing ever happening, that these MMA people are coming into boxing. But I always defend you guys because you guys got a lot of heart, and you're taking one of the martial arts skills, boxing, and just applying it to you, and more power to you. You guys typically don't turn down opponents, which I like, where boxers do.
We put on good shows, you know.
Right.
We get in there and bang.
Right. You guys understand the rules and everything. So when the older people are like, oh, it looks like a couple of MMA people, I was like, you'd be surprised because like MMA people, like, you know, they're really good with their hands.
Yeah.
They're really good with their hands. So I like defending the sport. Now, I don't think many boxers could go the other way to MMA. They would get their asses kicked pretty good, i.e. James Toney.
Yeah. Floyd McGregor.
I was going to just say Floyd McGregor.
Well, yeah, McGregor would have to come to boxing and stuff like that. Mickey, who influences you? Who do you like in the fight game that is somebody that you look up to?
You know what? I used to love Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. You know, all the old school guys.
That was the UFC's heyday.
You know, you know, Randy Couture. Those were my main guys. You know, Matt Hughes.
Yep.
You know, these are the guys that I started watching.
The old school on DVD. Yeah, video.
Yeah.
That's when they made money on DVDs.
Old school. Right. When DVDs existed.
Working at Jet's Pizza, hanging out in the back, watching UFC late nights. That's what it was.
Chuck Liddell and Ortiz, it was just the time. I mean, for the UFC. And obviously the Ultimate Fighter show took off, but there was that gap after the Hoist where, like, Zuffa took over, like, you know, around UFC 12 where it was like, but when, like, those guys came in, popularity was huge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, like, that's a sport. You know?
You had name figures in it. Like,
right,
people, like, relate to them type of guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And they had a great rivalry for quite a while, too, which I think is what – because they're just not that many rivalries now in the UFC, really.
The Diaz brothers and everybody.
Well, I mean, the Diaz brothers versus everybody, And also
McGregor and everybody.
McGregor and everybody and Dana White and everybody.
Yep. That's
true. How about you, Tommy, when you were growing up, who'd you like?
Dude, the Diaz brothers, man. Like, I started modeling my game after them. My coach hated it. But, I mean, hey, I'm a long, lean kid, and I like to throw hands. Like, right. I mean, where else am I going to go?
Right.
I got a little bit of a jits game in the back pocket, so, hey, stand and throw till somebody takes you down.
Now, I want you to know, everybody I think as a Diaz fan, I think they're pot smokers. So I'm not going to hold it against you.
I'm retired. I got my card, you know. Hey, I got the defibrillator in me, man. I have back issues.
Exactly.
I was going to say
the doctor says I need a bacchiotomy.
Yeah, damn right.
My back is broken.
It is. Always hurts.
Broke my back.
It's my back. My trainer said my back is broken.
No, you know.
It's spinal.
You know those thought.
Oh, poor Mike.
Poor Mike.
You know those thought bubbles. Every time someone says, "I like the Diaz brothers," first thing is a marijuana leaf.
If it was a game of Sims, you'd walk up to them and the little green leaf marijuana thing. It's like, I don't have any.
But those guys are incredible athletes. I mean, they're running marathons, doing the
triathlons
and shit like that.
Which is even more impressive because they're high all the time.
I don't think they are all the time. I don't think they're.
Yeah, you get the munchies after a while. You got to stop and have a snack.
They did one of those like 24/7 things with them, and they talked to one of like the guys. You know, had to follow him around. And he's like, Nick Diaz does three things: smokes pot, trains, and eats. He goes on an 8 mile like bike or on an 8 mile run, smokes a blunt. Goes on a 20 mile bike ride, smokes. Swims. Eat some Doritos. Yeah, he's like, that's all this kid does. He's like, we're either smoking, running, or eating.
That's awesome.
I think I like the Diaz brothers because at moments in their careers, they've had Dana White by the balls. I just remember them not showing up for stuff and like Dana being pissed, but at the same time, they're so popular.
Right.
You
know?
Like they took the Diaz brothers shit all this time, especially because of McGregor and stuff like that.
Once he beat McGregor, he's just looking at Dana like,
he's like,
add the commas, start adding the commas.
Yeah.
All that, I'll never be popular shit.
These are mine.
I the funny thing is the Diaz brothers were McGregor before McGregor, the taunting and the thing. McGregor doesn't flip the bird, but the Diaz brothers do too. Talking's become such a game in MMA, and I remember when I first started sitting ringside, no one talked. Now everybody does it.
Yeah.
They're talking the whole fight. It's
You know Kevin Lee?
Yeah.
Dude, Kevin Lee, one of the nicest kids you'd ever want
to
meet.
Talks the whole smack.
Dude, now it's like he's calling everybody and their brother out in the UFC, and it's like, I get why he's doing it, man, trying to make the money, but it's like every time I ever met Kevin, like, smile, handshake, hey, how's it going? You know, real polite. Never heard him say a word about anybody when he was in the state, but now he's in the big show, and hey, dude, get that check, you know?
Right.
You're in Dublin telling people there's nothing they can do if he were to beat up McGregor in front of them. Like, there's 50,000 Irishmen, man. Like,
one thing you learn is don't piss off the Irish.
And there's a lot of them. I'm sure they were drinking. It was like, like, Kevin, get to the hotel room. Like, maybe stay in the room. Wait for that plane flight tomorrow.
Now,
you beat one Irishman. You're not going to take on the whole pub.
Nope. The whole country. I mean, honestly, spill out. The other pubs will come out.
I refer to the entire island as a pub.
Oh, okay, yeah. The pub of Ireland.
Pub of Ireland.
Yeah.
Now, Mickey, what's next on the agenda? I know I'm asking you just right after you got your first win, but.
You know, I possibly an MMA fight, a boxing fight, you know, wherever we can
the go options.
Next, you know. Wherever the most money is, so.
Well, you got a good connection with Battaglia, obviously.
Yeah.
That's a great organization.
Yeah, I know there's going to be one coming up soon.
Right. He does, February and then October or something, or March?
We're looking at possibly having him on the January boxing card and then MMA card in February, depending on if the dates line up. The dates line up. You know how the state can be sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No idea. Yikes.
Ixnay on the 8th day.
Yeah. I did want to ask you guys this and stuff. Coming from MMA and also doing boxing and doing it well too, both of you guys. This argument that gets tossed around about boxing or MMA king and stuff like that. If you had a choice, would you watch MMA every time, or is there a time where you sit back and you like a good boxing match?
There's a time where you want to see boxing, but it's like, I mean, equal like. Saturday night, MMA card, you know, I watched Benson Henderson put on a great show, you know.
Right.
And not to mention that one was free as opposed to the pay-per-view. The wife doesn't go for that too much.
That's true. How about you?
You know what? I love boxing. I grew up watching boxing. MMA, just you never know what's going to happen. So, you know, it intrigues me watching a little bit more. You know, so I'd have to go with MMA.
If I can get Ward Gotti every time, like, I'll watch boxing.
Ward Gotti still to this day. If you ask me which fight I'm going to pop in, it's going to be Ward Gotti 2-3. Just freaking phenomenal. Mickey Ward, you know, and is just having got to meet him and just, you know, hang around him when he was at the Palace of Auburn Hills when the fighter came out. Just phenomenal guy, his story and the movie being made. I was disappointed because the movie took you all the way up but didn't show any of the Ward Gotti stuff. Yep. So you're like,
That's what I was saying.
You're like, how can that be left out of the story? That's the story. I mean, not the story of his life, but I mean, that's what boxing fans will always remember is the Gotti fights. And that's a guy that when boxers tell me that they like Gotti, you know that guy wants to fight anywhere. Anytime and wants to throw down. Speaking of which, really quickly, and we'll talk about it a little later. This one won't go to decision this weekend, guaranteed. Jimmy, you got Lomachenko versus Walters.
Okay,
it's gonna end by knockout. I don't know who wins that yet. I gotta see him hit weigh-ins. But that fight's gonna be absolutely awesome. So I'm excited about that. No more bad decisions. No more bad decisions.
wait, ever or because
not.
I mean,
in a calendar
have you been
week.
Around?
Not in a calendar week. I can't handle it no more. After the Sims thing and then having it again.
But it wasn't a bad decision.
No, the Sims.
Oh no, that one. Whoa, what? No. Whoa. I'm talking about the Kovalev Ward.
Whoa, you know, and you know what? I gotta go to some boxer really quick here. And okay. I don't even know if he wants me to mention his name.
So don't just say some boxer.
So, you know, when I write, the thing is you're either going to tell it the right way and be a real journalist or you're going to blow up smoke up someone's ass and make somebody happy. So if you read what I wrote on Fight News, you'll know that I thought it was a bad decision and I admit the crowd thought it was a bad decision. So anyways, a good boxer friend of mine reminded me that it's never personal, but it's hard to tell who has your best interests at heart and who wants to see you fail or just plain don't give a fuck. And that was his response to me saying that I appreciated his honesty because everybody on the board was talking to Craig Lewis saying, hey, man, you won the fight. You won the fight. And I'm sitting there thinking, you can't be around boxing and think Craig Lewis won the fight. And another good friend of mine, every time he said he won the fight, he said, well, why don't you post the fight? Because there was enough video of there out there. But he never did post the video because anyone that watched the video would clearly see, I think, Sims win. And I'm not ragging on Craig Lewis here because I want him to improve. And supposedly there's this underlying eye problem that he's having too. He has the body of a heavyweight. He walks around at 249. He should have been all over Sims, leaning that weight, wearing down Sims, who – and I'll take – maybe a little shot at Sims. His body doesn't look the most physically fit, but he was the better fit fighter that night. You know, I want Craig Lewis to get better. So this is like tough love. Like, go out there. You got a gift from two judges who saw it differently. And take this gift and become a good fighter out there and make us all proud. And then for Sims, I want Sims to go back to the drawing board. Don't be frustrated by this. And, you know, continue going on and stuff like that. So that's it. I want to thank Tommy and I want to thank Mickey for joining us. You guys are always welcome back.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming in here, Tommy, and telling your story. I know that's difficult. You know what? I'll always remember that day.
Yeah.
I know you will too. Yeah. And, you know, I wrote the follow-up to it. I asked you if you remember me. I came to the hospital the second day, too. You didn't remember the second day either.
I mean, no. It's a lot of haze and a lot of high pain meds, you know?
Right. Yeah.
They had you on the good stuff.
Yeah. Like, when they cut you open and attach stuff to your heart, you know, they got to numb you up pretty through.
Yeah.
And that's where I had to thank Todd Ali, who I had known Todd. Todd had known Rochelle. Back in the high school days, and I covered Todd Ali versus Brett Rogers at the Palace of Auburn Hills. And
that mountain.
He was my communication to say, you know, I said that, you know, tell him that, you know, I hope he feels better and everything like that. But he told us how you were doing and stuff, and that allowed me to write the article for Fight News. Bob Ryder, who covered that event with me that night, you know, that I hope to never, ever see that again. That was the scariest thing I've ever seen in boxing. But I want to thank you for coming in here and talking a little bit about it. And if anything, maybe somebody that's having a little bit of cardio problems will go get just an extra heart test. What is it? Just a little bit of
ectocardiogram. Yep.
Just to see if there's a little bit of enlargement on the bottom.
Yeah,
bottom
lower portion. Half of the heart, just a little bigger, and it gets out of rhythm. Next thing you know, it just stops. So.
And then I know we're going to continue to see you around the fight game because you're cornering people. You're working with Mass Jim and Todd Ali, and I love that. Mickey, great first win.
Thank you.
Didn't leave it to the judges, which was pretty good because we saw how the judges were thinking that night.
Never.
And keep the knockouts coming because that's what keeps people in the stands. We're going to go to our first break.
Actually, let's just do what's on tap. We'll do that really fast right now, and then we'll go to a bunch of songs.
Okay, cool.
Okay. All right, so we're going to do What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. You have to give me a second here. I'm pulling up the drop. Yeah. I hate it when my computer runs slow. There
should
it goes.
You got a MacBook.
Why is it not working? Oh, wait, that side's not working. Hold on.
Oh, I see the problem. It's HP on it.
What? It
says HP on it.
Oh, I see the problem.
No.
HP. I'm hearing double.
I know why we're hearing double. You got to give me a second. There we go. All right. All right. Once again, this is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. Not much going on because this is Thanksgiving week. I think a lot of boxers and MMA fighters wanted to
You can't be trying to cut weight when it's Thanksgiving, dude.
I know. But we do have November 25th, Brentwood, England. We have Bradley Skeet versus John Thane. Skeet's kind of up and comer, and John Thane's he's kind of on a streak right now. So that's an actual.
I hope
that's one that you really want to watch.
I hope his entrance music is Lil Jon. Oh, ski, 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 ski.
That would actually be kind of funny. That would actually be kind of funny. And just because I love the names of these places.
Okay.
At Toowoomba, Australia.
Toowoomba?
Toowoomba.
Okay.
We have Cameron Hammond versus Chris George for the vacant Commonwealth welterweight title.
Okay.
Yes. And then Las Vegas on November 26th, Las Vegas HBO. We have Vasyl Lomachenko versus Nicholas Walters. We were just talking about that a little bit earlier for Lomachenko's WBO junior lightweight title. That's pretty much it for boxing. We'll move on to MMA. Again, not much going on. We have the King of the Cage, Desert Reign, in Fort McDowell in Arizona. We also have King of the Cage, Duke City 2 at the Embassy Suites Hotel and Spa in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We have, where did it go here? Where is it? I love some of these MMA names, like Katana Fight. I mean, that's just awesome. We have UFC Fight Night 101, Whitaker versus Brunson at Melbourne, Victoria in Australia. And that's pretty much it for MMA. So once again, that's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. We're going to go to what? Like, let's say 2-3 songs.
Yeah, we got a few good ones.
All right,
queued
let's
up here,
so. Let's do 2-3 songs and we'll be right back.
I'm still blown away really quick. Did you,
no,
you
we're
take
good.
Us out yet?
Okay.
No, we're good.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Really blown away by that. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in boxing, and I'm happy that Tommy.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit. And to have him in here, that was
it's obviously
really
a very emotional thing for him. And it absolutely
emotional.
Should be.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, obviously, like, you could really tell. So, it was very it was good of
him to
share as much
in.
As
yeah.
he did. Because, I mean, you know, that's a very personal thing that happened.
Yeah,
so.
That was a good interview. And then every time I see Tommy now around and stuff like that, it just, you know, reminds, you know, life is great. Every sunrise is great. And I'm glad everything's going well for him.
Word.
All right.
Word. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
And we're back.
Yes, and Ring Girl Liz is in here, and we're going to move on to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving.
Can't change microphones on me there, Brad.
Sorry. We are back, episode 213. Ring Girl Liz is here. We're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. It is
Love
Thanksgiving
to
Day week.
Eat turkey.
I know.
Love to eat turkey.
Now, Let's get into really quickly before we go to boxing. Favorite dishes. I do miss my grandma. My grandma was an amazing
I enjoy a good
cook.
Corel bowl.
A good what?
A Corel bowl.
What is that?
It's my favorite dish.
Okay, but what is it?
It's a bowl.
It's a bowl.
Oh, okay. Favorite food dish.
Side item. Obviously
side
turkey.
Okay, so like
side
mashed
item,
potatoes.
A fork.
Smashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, cranberries, pickles,
Liz
garlic.
Liz started off because
yeah,
she actually
ahead.
Knows what I'm talking
I
about.
I really like green bean casserole.
Green
a lot
beans?
Of people, yeah. I know a lot of families don't like it. Like, I like it. Whatever.
I love green beans. I can't stand green bean casserole.
Whatever.
I like mushrooms. You use cream mushroom soup.
I
it's disgusting.
I could eat the entire thing to myself.
Okay. No, you take perfectly good vegetable like green beans, ruin it by putting cream of mushroom soup on it.
Yeah, no, yeah, you yeah. take perfectly you take perfectly good mushroom soup and onion flakes and ruin it by putting green beans in it.
Jimmy, do you have a favorite side besides turkey? Because I think everyone loves turkey.
I would have to say, if done correctly, the stuffing. But
like
it has to be. It has
stuffing.
To be. It has to be done correctly.
It's
got to have.
Too dry, right?
I hate stuffing. My sister sometimes puts it in like chicken, like stuffs the. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just hate it. It's disgusting.
It's too dry.
I've
for
never
me.
Liked.
Well,
it
but
ever.
Then you haven't had the correct kind of stuffing.
Okay.
Stuffing should never be dry.
No, he's absolutely right.
Yeah, it should never be dry. If it's dry, they've done it wrong.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. He right. It should be like undercooked bread. Like what could
kind
be better?
Of. Kind
what
of,
be better?
But undercooked bread, but it's got, you know, celery and
no,
onions
no.
and
well,
yeah.
onion. I'm gonna get no celery.
Oh, it's got to have celery.
I
in
hate
it, though.
Celery.
Yeah.
I hate celery too.
What about you, Merv?
So besides turkey, probably mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes.
But just plain or like a special
well,
kind?
With butter.
Or?
See,
but I'm like not like garlic or like with the skins,
just mashed
or...
potatoes.
Okay,
whole, like real though.
Yeah, homemade.
Like, not like
yeah,
like it has to like say. There better be lumps in it, right?
Right.
Like
yes.
People like people work so hard. I want lumps in my mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
I have a friend that likes the. Like it's like the powder box, and then you put it in the water.
No.
Way better than real mashed.
That okay, that person needs to be taken out back and beaten with a rubber hose. All right,
agreed.
That is terrible. But I also there's a
it's also
a,
pickles. I love pickles.
I love pickles.
Yes. Dill pickles. I can't yes. stand sweet pickles.
Well, yeah,
and
no,
people
not sweet
who
pickles.
Eat sweet pickles should be taken out back
dill.
With that
either
person.
Dill, yes,
and be
either
with a
dill
hose.
Pickles or baby gherkins. I like
yeah,
baby gherkins.
Good,
yeah,
yeah.
Those little tiny little pickles, they're very, very
oh,
sweet.
No.
Yeah.
Now, Marv, have you had good cheesy scallop potatoes? Because that
I also
will,
love them.
That will I, normally mm-hmm. be mashed potatoes. I'm
well,
talking
okay, about. Here's, okay.
I'm getting hungry again.
Right, so I guess if we were to say, in general, I would probably prefer scallop potatoes, cheesy scallop potatoes. But we don't ever have, like, at least in my family, we don't ever have that for Thanksgiving. So my favorite Thanksgiving side
right.
is going to be mashed potatoes, but like any other day, it would probably be cheesy.
What about have you ever had for Thanksgiving like cheesy potatoes, like the kind that has like seven different cheeses?
Yeah, when I've
in
gone
it or whatever.
To like when I've gone like other places.
Okay, but you don't have it with your family.
Not you. I mean, not usually,
okay.
But I don't know why.
Okay.
It's not like my family is like morally opposed to
right.
them, right?
Okay, so now I have a second question that kind of goes along with it. Favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
My mom's pumpkin tort. Absolutely no doubt. Mama's pumpkin tort.
Okay.
If you're listening, Mama, make two this year.
One for Marv, one for everybody else.
One and a half for Marv. Y'all split up the rest.
Liz?
I am obsessed with cheesecake, but
okay.
I had pumpkin cheesecake the other day, and I actually think I like that better than the
it's
real
amazing.
Pumpkin
no.
cheesecake
it's
is
amazing.
Pumpkin anything is
pumpkin spice.
Okay, well, Jimmy's done.
Frozen hot chocolates.
Stop
and
it.
Lattes have been my thing.
Well, that's
every
because that's
day,
because you're basic. And
yeah,
because okay.
you're a basic bitch.
But you know what? I love
you're a basic bitch.
I love pumpkin spice lattes as well.
Yes,
because
so.
You are a basic bitch.
If that makes me a basic bitch, I wear it with pride because those things are damn delicious.
No, nothing pumpkin flavored anything is bleh.
So good. Daily.
All right.
Daily.
What about you, Brad?
On the reg, dude.
Oh, God, you know, I would go to the cheesy scallops. That I
dessert?
Oh, no, dessert, pumpkin cheesecake. There used to be a place, there used to be a place called LBJ's on Dix.
So good.
That did it amazing. It did it absolutely amazing. I just sent everybody, I saw this on Facebook. It made me laugh. If your families disagree, there's a bingo. out there for you.
Did you send it to us?
Yeah, I sent
like,
it all.
Oh, actually,
text
so them. It's so, okay. So it's like about the election. There are actually like I've seen news stories and read articles. Like there are families that have not been split up for Thanksgiving for decades. Who are like not getting together for Thanksgiving because they know it will just turn into a giant brawl.
I never got anything.
I sent it to you.
No,
it's a text. He sent a text.
I didn't. Oh, it might have taken a while to get it.
So,
but yeah, like families are seriously splitting up for the holidays because they're afraid it will come to like fisticuffs.
Yeah. No, it's like we made a rule. We made a rule. We have 40 people going over to my aunt and uncle's house, and there is a rule that you are not allowed to bring up politics or you will be tossed out.
But it will eventually
either side. Either side. Huh?
Some of the things that would earn you a spot on this bingo card, if anyone talks about the wall Trump's going to build, that gets you a spot. Anyone talk about Make America Great Again? Get you one. Talk about the gorilla? Harabee was not just a gorilla. You get a spot. Obama, her emails also get you a spot. You could get one for All Lives Matter. People protesting the national anthem. The LGBTQ community. Black Lives Matter. If someone brings up Democrats. If someone brings up he's a racist or racism. If someone brings up Bernie. Trump is the free space because
like,
everyone's going
to
talk
this
Trump.
One, this whole card is just going to be like a race to the finish. Like, there's, like they're all
like just within
like,
the first 5 minutes,
like you,
all those.
Like, you know this is all going to come
out.
But there is one NFL football one in there. The Cowboys are back because they play on Thanksgiving and they're winning. That's kind of funny. But, you know, this is going to be a very divided Thanksgiving for a lot of family members because people aren't very happy with the election either way. And so I saw that and I thought that was pretty funny. The kids' table really did exist at my house. And I had it until I was like – I was there until 18 or 19 before I could graduate to the adult table. And then when I got to the adult table, I wanted to go back to the kids' table because I realized the stuff they were talking about was like too much.
Right.
I was like, oh, you know, that's too grown up. I want to go back over here. You know, they're talking about bills and stuff. So, the kids' table was just a fold-out table.
It was a card table. Always a card table, yeah.
Right. And kids always ate first to shut us up. And then throughout the day, my grandpa, grandparents would give me the black olives that were all cut.
Okay.
That's what we'd snack on until we were able to eat. You know, someone would carve the turkey. And
Same thing with me, except mine were the pickles. It was the dill pickles and the baby
pickles
gherkins.
And olives. Yeah. Not black olives, but like just the regular like pimento olives.
Yeah.
We'd watch the parade on TV and we'd always ask, can we go to the parade? The answer was always next year. Next year we'd come around and we'd be like, hey, there's a parade again down
in
Detroit.
Can we go to the parade?
Next year until you didn't care anymore.
Right.
Like, I'm never going to see this freaking parade in real life. But that's it. And you'd always watch the Lions football. I never watched the other games. I could care less. That was too much football for me. Mm. But, you know, Thanksgiving to me, I like – this is weird to say – okay, so I like Christmas. I like Christmas a lot. I like the meaning behind Christmas. But Thanksgiving, because it's so relaxing, typically more families get together around Thanksgiving. I really do like Thanksgiving. It gives you a chance just to eat and mow and just have fun, dude.
I like Thanksgiving because it's the official start to the Christmas season.
Well, yeah, you are a jolly little motherfucker over there.
I am, and I like the Christmas season, and I'm probably the least Christian person in this room.
You don't have to be Christian to like Christmas.
I hear you because I actually saw a shirt the other day that I really, really want. It's like an ugly Christmas sweater, and it says Axial Tilt. It's the reason for the season. You get it, Liz? Axial Tilt. You know what Axial Tilt is? See, Liz, the reason we have seasons on this planet is because the Earth's axis is 23.8. degrees,
something like that,
and so that is the reason we have seasons, otherwise we would just have so that's the reason
for the season.
Axial tilt is the reason for the season.
See, the Earth has tilted away from the sun, the northern hemisphere. That's why we're having winter.
Got it.
I'm defending her over here. I'm like, she knows.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, I'm getting you know who's bringing me the biggest gift? It's the Easter Bunny next year with the shutdown of I-75 for 2 fucking years.
Isn't that
southbound.
Awesome? Isn't that awesome?
It's awesome for people that live south
like,
of 75.
I would say it's not like downriver people are people. I mean,
two effing years, dude.
Somebody's got to get to Ford's and work there.
I'm already blaming like people in power. I'm like, this is Trump's fault. This is everybody's fault.
This is
Dugan's fault.
His little known campaign promise. I will shut down I-75 better than anybody ever has.
You mean I get to take Fort Street on the way home with like 29 lights? Great.
Hey, you know what? If you're taking Fort Street home, you might want to take your CPL class now. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, he's right.
You might want to and invest.
Or like
in
have
a couple.
Me, like never do it without Jimmy or I in the car.
Right, exactly. Especially at night.
Yeah.
Well, you won't need that because the rest of America will be down there too because
I-75's
closed.
But then again, don't you think that would be like the best place to hit people because they know everybody's going to be coming through there?
Actually, Jimmy, like let's be realistic. By March or April, like the entire world is going to be like Fort Street at night. So.
That's true. That is true.
I mean, by that, that'll be like.
You think it's going
to? That'll be like first 100 days.
No, I'm just saying. But you think it's going to take that long? See, I'm saying by like the end of January.
No, it'll be like towards the end of his first 100 days.
Okay,
it'll be like Fury Road.
Awesome. I get to be a guy in the front.
Whatever, dude.
Does everyone watch the parade? I mean, it at least goes on TV, right?
It's just not. I mean,
I don't know.
There's a parade. Okay, people are walking.
It's terrible. Like,
and more people are walking.
I can't pinpoint. Like, I loved them when I was a kid. I've been trying to think. I can't pinpoint when. Like, I just stopped watching them.
Like when you realize that parades are pointless.
Well,
I mean, I like to go to them.
You know what's actually, and I will miss this, leaving Wayne State, and I won't be able to see it tomorrow because I'm not working tomorrow. You could always see them taking the floats at the end of the day, like down.
Yeah.
Like,
Woodward and Ferry, they'd stop.
So, yeah. Right. So we, so my building is at Woodward and Warren. So I could see them, like, I got a preview of the parade. Right, because, so, but to, like, actually go, or, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I just, I don't, just not a,
I mean, I liked parades when I was younger because I was usually in the parade. So
yeah, like whatever,
that was kind of fun.
Like,
but
like Tracy still, she still loves a parade. We were,
I love a parade.
Yeah, like I mean, we were up in Mackinac, like over the summer, or whenever it was. Like there was a parade. It was Memorial Weekend. There was Memorial Day parade, and like she like went to watch the parade, and I was like, I'll be over here,
okay,
eating a hot dog.
All right, so do you guys actually cook?
I am in charge of the turkey. I made the mistake a couple years ago of making the turkey, and everybody thought that was a really good idea from then on. So I am in charge of I do a bacon blanket on it, so it always comes out very moist and very delicious.
So you think you're good at doing it?
Nobody's complained, so I think it comes out pretty well. But that's like my main thing, and then like everybody else does whatever they're going to do.
Jimmy, you cook?
No, because I've never hosted Thanksgiving. So
you never brought a side dish, or
I mean, yeah. If you're talking about like that, then yeah, absolutely. I've done dips, I've done desserts, I've done.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not hosting Thanksgiving. I have to cook the turkey and then schlep it to my parents'
house. Oh, no. Whoever's hosting Thanksgiving is the one that always cooks the turkey. Mm. That's how it works in our family.
Well, your family is weird.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I've made dips. I've made, you know, desserts. I've made cookies. I've made various different things.
He's made relatives angry.
Or I'll buy, you know, like buy like the cheesecake or, you know, like a vegetable, you know, platter or whatever.
Speaking of buying things, if you ever need to bring something to like a potluck or whatever.
Yeah.
Slows to go. Get their cornbread. Buy their like sheet of cornbread. Totally looks homemade. Mm-hmm. You can absolutely pass it off. We had a potluck at work yesterday, and I totally forgot to bring anything. So I call up Slow's, and I was like, I wanted to bring pulled pork or whatever. But they're like, yeah, we can't get that to you in time. I was like, well, what can I get? They're like, we can do cornbread. I was like, give me that. And then when I got it, it totally like looked homemade. I was like, this is awesome. So I cut it up, put it on a plate, and everybody was like, did you make this? I was like, oh, hell yeah. It was my family's secret recipe cornbread.
Liz, do you make anything for?
I did last year. My family doesn't let anyone really cook except for them.
Okay.
It's always kind of been like that in my family. This isn't like a Thanksgiving kind of thing, but last year I tried bacon-wrapped water chestnuts.
Yeah.
With, I believe it's called Worcestershire.
Worcestershire sauce?
Yeah. So amazing, and everyone loved it. So I'll probably make that again this year.
My wife makes those as well. That's a fan. But she does.
So amazing.
She doesn't do Worcestershire sauce. She does barbecue sauce and brown sugar and mayonnaise.
I do put brown sugar on it, yeah.
It's barbecue sauce, mayonnaise, and mix it all up, and then you put that over them and bake it. It's so good.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't had it that way.
Try it. It's delicious. Messy, but delicious.
Yeah. See, the early part of my 20s when I was, like, dating, you always had to hit both families Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of drama. Until I stopped doing that. I was just like, we're just going here and not trying to hit both families and not being able to eat what you wanted. Then the next place you went had nothing you wanted. Like, they had cranberries and shit like that I wouldn't touch. I'd be like, oh, fuck. Should I eat more? But just pick one place, and that's it. That's where you go. That's where you relax. Don't try to make everybody happy. Go hit them all and just enjoy.
Yeah.
You know? Now, Aiden, my son, huge into turkey. Most kids don't like turkey. They don't understand the texture. They don't understand it. My son has liked turkey since like
really
five. Yeah.
Every kid I know loves turkey.
Really?
Yeah.
You should be around the kids that like, I see. They don't like besides what? Aiden.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Every kid I know
loves turkey. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Aiden was special. Yeah.
No. Sorry, your kid's not special, Brad.
Now,
he's very special.
Now, well, now Now, the difference is, you know, some kids only like white meat and some kids only like dark meat, but they all love turkey, all the ones that I know. They won't eat both, but they'll eat one or the other.
Have you ever ate the gizzard or any?
No, God, no.
Liver?
Mm. I'll tell you what, though. When I bought my turkey this year.
I ate goat balls once.
What?
I just wanted to see if
you goat balls? Is that goat balls? No, is that what you said?
It was actually we had goat when for Thanksgiving when we were overseas and
that's all you could find.
Well, no, because that's pretty much all they have over there. There was one of the soldiers. He was like, because they basically, the guy killed the goat and then cooked it in the pan and then just basically cut off pieces and gave it to us. So there was a lot of cartilage and stuff still on it. But there was one section that I know it wasn't. It was just cartilage, but it really did look like goat balls. Yeah. And the one guy's like, Doc, what is this? So I'm like, that's his testicles. He's like, ugh!
So I was this close this year when I bought my turkey. I actually bought my turkey at Gordon Foods this year. They also had duck.
Yes,
like
turducken.
I was millimeters from getting a duck and making a turducken.
Have you seen the pikeken?
Yes, I have.
Okay, all right.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
But I've never done turducken, though, so I was like, I don't want to screw this up. Like,
Maybe
try it when it's not Thanksgiving. But it was there, and I was like, oh, I could totally do a turducken.
Did you ever watch Malcolm in the Middle? Turducken a la Mungfish? Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, man.
But there was a great story that I want it to be true. If it's not, I want it to be true. It's not like my family or anything, but right. It's a story that I read, you know, online. So it probably is true because they can't put anything online that's true. It was a woman. It was her daughter's like first time ever cooking a turkey and hosting Thanksgiving. Right, her daughter was like 20 something. You know, like Liz, young and dumb. And she knows I love her. But so she'd never cooked a turkey before. So when the daughter wasn't looking, the mother had brought a Cornish hen.
Ooh yeah.
And shoved it inside the turkey, right? And then
was pregnant.
And then put it back in.
I've seen that video.
Well, I read the story, and then so when they cut it, like there's this little thing in there, and the daughter like freaked out. The mom was like, "Oh my god, that turkey was pregnant!" And the girl lost her mind, like, "Oh my god, I cooked that little baby turkey!"
Oh no! Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome, but that's also awesome
because your generation, Liz, dumb as stumps.
Now, is there a worse?
She's just shaking her head. Yep. Not all of you.
But as a whole.
It's an average.
You are part of the worst generation ever.
Now, what's the purpose of the presidential pardon, even though that they go eat turkey later?
It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just a – you know what? Like actually, I want to look it up here. All right.
Because they pardon one, but then they eat one later.
So. Yeah, there's two of them, and you pick the one you're going to pardon.
Right.
Isn't that what you do?
I guess. I don't know. I've never been president.
Turkey.
But apparently.
You've been masterful.
I'll tell you what, though. Apparently, if I step up my pussy-grabbing game, I can be one.
Oh, God.
All right. Hold on. I'm looking up here, because that actually, I forgot about that, but I'm actually kind of curious on how the whole
because
thing.
Because the news will lead off with that, or end with it. Yeah. And before we close, the president pardoned another.
Oh, yeah.
It's often stated that President Lincoln's 1863 clemency to a turkey recorded in an 1865 dispatch by White House reporter Noah Brooks was the origin for the pardoning ceremony.
Wait, hold on. Give me the two dates again.
Okay, so President Lincoln basically pardoned a turkey in 1863. And a White House reporter in 1865 basically was writing about when he did this in 63, and that's where the whole thing got
news
started.
News traveled fast back then.
Right.
Two years later.
Yeah.
People recently have said that Harry S. Truman began assuming this holiday tradition, but the museum disputes that Truman was the first president to pardon the holiday bird. Hold on. Let's see. At Thanksgiving 1913, a turkey from Kentucky shared a few minutes of fame with the fine feathered Rhode Islander soon after. That's something different. Hold on. I'm trying to find out why they do it, if it says anything in here.
I'm just wondering, like, so the part in turkeys, they're good forever, right? And they get to live out?
They go live on a farm.
Do they really?
I guess. I don't know.
That's
no, they're probably sold back to Butterball, and they end up on somebody's
not
table.
Not a bad deal at all. Not a bad deal at all. Are you a big turkey eater, Liz?
My family does turkey and ham.
Right.
And I don't know. I like both. I can't really. I do like it, but I can't say I like one more than the other, no.
Turkey and prime rib. That's where it's at, if somebody does it. But ham is good. Dearborn ham, spiral. You don't know? No. There's a difference.
Hey, Liz, do you know why turkeys don't wear underwear?
It's going to be a bad joke.
Do you know why?
I feel like this isn't going to go well.
Their peckers are on their face.
Meanwhile, Jimmy's reading the whole.
Jimmy's just over there. He's over there. I can't find anything.
Turkey, I can't find.
With
I've never heard that one before, though.
What? The presidential pardon?
No. Because you'd have to go in a time machine to the seventh grade, where that would be a funny one. I'd go back in time to see when that would be funny.
It's still funny. Shut up.
We do got to talk big news, though, in Detroit. Let's talk about this really quick. The Detroit Pistons are moving back to Detroit. They are no longer the Auburn Hills Pistons. I am excited for selfish reasons. That parking lot at the Palace has caused me more gray hair than I ever want to. Here's the thing with the Palace of Auburn Hills. If you stayed for, like, the whole concert, you were going to be stuck an hour and a half in that parking lot. If you stayed for a whole game, you were going to be stuck an hour and a half for that parking lot. I hated that parking lot. And then the way they would direct you on I-75, hated that also.
You honestly think it's going to be any better
with
all the crap that's going to be going on downtown?
Well, I know Backways. We're good. And I have access to a lot of structures down there. We're going to be fine. The
traffic is going to suck.
Everything's going to suck. It's going to make it worse.
You know what I don't want
to
be?
No, it's not bringing money to Detroit. It's bringing money to Illich.
Yeah.
That's all it's doing.
What they announced it, and it hasn't even been like 12 hours, and there's already controversy because the mayor like gave them tax subsidies without like approval.
$4 million, and supposedly he's supposed to have some meetings to have
that whole thing, like that whole like.
It's beyond the whole thing from top to bottom. The Illich Arena, the Pistons coming, everything is BS.
Naming it
100% BS.
Naming it the Little Caesars thing.
Exactly.
Not using all the workers from Detroit that you're supposed to use. Like, I think, so what is it? He's like 20% short on the number of Detroit workers he was supposed to use or whatever. And got a $500,000 fine. Big whoop. He has that money in spades.
Yeah.
What he should do.
Pocket change.
What he should do is lose 20% of the $250 million.
No, actually, what he should do is lose or is have to give 20% of all revenue to the city of Detroit.
Whatever. I hate the Illiches. I'm just going to go ahead and come out and say it. I hate the Illiches.
And you're a Red Wing fan.
I'm a Red Wing fan. And if somebody else could please own that team, because I wouldn't – if I were walking down the street and an Illich were on fire and I was about to burst – my bladder was about to burst, I wouldn't waste my piss on them.
You would turn the other way and piss.
I would turn the other way and I would make sure that the wind wasn't blowing so as to splash any on them.
Yeah.
Now, Marv's opinions are not necessarily the opinions of the undercard. What has Mr. I done to you? Or his family?
They splatter their name all over everything. They wanted to buy the Masonic Temple so they could knock it down. They attempted to buy it through a bunch of like shell companies and whatever, like tried to sneak, because everybody knew like they wouldn't sell it to him because they were just going to knock it down. So he tried back ways to get it. So there's that.
The old back door.
It's the only way he's ever going to get any action. I just can't. The crap having the city kicks in $250 million for a stadium. Like, you're a freaking billionaire. You got to get money from the city. It's like, I can't stand the way he does business.
Okay. That's fine. You know, I was just curious.
And
now I know.
You sure do.
I thought it was the hot and ready pizzas. Those are horrible.
Well, those are terrible, but I mean.
Yeah, but those are horrible. That's not.
When you walk into Little Caesars,
the hot and ready pizzas are, you know, that's economic.
No, yeah. When you walk into Little Caesars getting hot and ready, you look in that little lobby and everybody else is there, and there's shame on all of our faces. We're like, we fucking really fucked up tonight.
Little Caesars used to be the, like, they were the pizza. Like, that's the pizza we always got. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, until we learned about all the other pizzas.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Avoid the Noid. Domino's.
Listen, I'm not. Well, you would avoid the Noid. So
avoid the Noid.
Yeah, Domino's. We avoided the Noid by getting Little Caesar.
Yeah.
Can I talk for my selfish reasons, right?
I guess.
There's some concerts I'd like to go to, but it's because it's the Palace of Auburn Hills. I don't want to. Those are all coming down here, besides the Pine Knob gigs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Palace will be wiped away. They're not going to let it rot like the Pontiac Silverdome, so that's good. It's going to be property out there or whatever. But now I will probably go to some Piston games. There's no way I was going to Piston games when it's an hour and 45 minutes away from where I'm going because of traffic.
Yeah.
I haven't for my own selfish reasons. Yippee.
I haven't even quite decided.
Well, I think that's what's wrong with the world is everybody's about, you know, wanting something for selfish reasons, not thinking of the better community.
They're going somewhere.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm not a basketball fan, so I wouldn't go see the Pistons if you paid me, unless you paid me a lot. But I haven't quite decided yet if I will ever go see a Red Wings game in that arena.
Okay. See, I was looking for some reasons because you're a Red Wing fan, and I'll go deep here.
Uh-huh.
Some people left off the Stanley Cup because his whole family had to be listed in the names.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a reason where you could say the Illiges really made me mad.
That's one of many.
But you knew about that, right? There's
absolutely. I'm well aware.
And like the team.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
They are
the entire family is a bunch of greedy 1% pretentious pricks.
But I don't think he's going to own them too much longer. I really don't. I think when Mr. I dies, I think that the family's going out. There's a rumor that this is why Tom Gores is coming down here. Maybe he's trying to get the Tigers and get
maybe
the freaking Red Wings.
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I'm really,
you know,
that whole arena really has ticked me off with the way. And I was excited I was excited they were going to build a new arena, but the whole way it went down ticked me off, and I don't know that I'll ever go there.
Illich is rich, but Tom Gores is rich.
Yeah, well,
there's a difference.
He's Oprah rich.
he's more than Oprah. Tom
Gores from a movie.
Tom Gores has a lot of money. So whatever he wants to do and revitalize. And you know what? Hey, he's keeping these franchises away from Dan Gilbert. Because I think then Tom Gores has the inside on it and Dan Gilbert doesn't get the.
What's wrong with Dan Gilbert getting them?
Okay. Well, you want to go there, Rant?
Yeah.
I'm
asking.
Why don't you like Dan Gilbert?
Yeah. I don't like Dan Gilbert.
I had to tell you why I didn't like the Illiges. Why don't you like Dan Gilbert?
I'll give the sophisticated reason and then save my other stuff away. I just didn't like when LeBron left and he went to like whine that LeBron left, and then when LeBron came back, it was like everything was good. When I hold a grudge, I'll fucking hold a grudge. Like 20 years from now, you'll be like, you like that kid? I'll be like, I still don't like that kid. Like, I don't know. It was just when LeBron left and he was like, wham. And then when LeBron came back, it was like, come back.
So your problem with Dan Gilbert is that he's too full of forgiveness? Your issue is that he lets bygones be bygones?
That he's not a pretentious prick?
That he turns the other cheek? That's your problem with
that
him?
He's not enough of a prick?
He claims
to be human and has flaws and recognizes it and doesn't feel like he sits on a golden throne and his shit don't stink?
I love it. Brad doesn't like him because he's too nice of a guy. He's too good a guy.
I mean,
I can't decide if Brad, like, he's just on his phone. I don't know if he's like looking for like something to like drop, or if he's just like, I'm done. You guys, I'm done with this. We're just
here is the letter where Dan Gilbert, this is after LeBron James announced he was leaving for the Miami Heat.
Okay.
This is from Dan Gilbert. Dear Cleveland, all of Northeast Ohio and Cleveland Cavaliers supporters, wherever you may be tonight. As you know, our former hero, who grew up in this very region that he deserted this evening, is no longer a Cleveland Cavalier. This was announced with a several-day narcissistic self-promotion buildup, culminating with a national TV special of his decision, unlike anything ever witnessed in the history of sports and probably the history of entertainment. clearly this is bitterly disappointing to all of us. The good news is that the ownership team and the rest of the hardworking, loyal-driven staff over here at your hometown Cavaliers have never betrayed you, nor never will we betray you. Mm. This is so much more to tell you about the events of the recent past and our more than exciting future. Over the next several days and weeks, we will be communicating much of that to you. You simply don't deserve this type of cowardly betrayal. You have given so much and deserve so much more. In the meantime, I want to make one statement to you tonight. I personally guarantee that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win an NBA championship before the self-titled formerly King win one, which is not true. Miami Heat won a lot before Cleveland won, and he had to get LeBron back to that. He says, you can take that to the bank. If you thought we were motivated before tonight to bring the hardware to Cleveland, I can tell you that this shameful display of selfishness and betrayal by one of our very own has shifted our motivation to previously unknown and previously never experienced levels. Some people think they should go to heaven but not have to die to get there. Sorry, but that's simply not how it works. This shocking act of disloyalty from our homegrown chosen one sends the exact opposite lesson of what we would want our children to learn and who we want them to grow up to become. But the good news is that the heartless and callous action can only serve as the antidote to the so-called curse on Cleveland, Ohio. The self-declared former king will be taking the curse with him down south. And until he does right by Cleveland and Ohio, James and the town where he plays will unfortunately own this dreadful spell and bad karma. Just watch. Sleep well, Cleveland. Tomorrow is a new and much brighter day. I promise you that our energy, focus, capital, knowledge, and experience will be directed at one thing and one thing only, delivering you the championship you have long deserved and is long overdue. Dan Gilbert, majority owner of Cleveland Cavaliers. You can't write that and then take the fucker back. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
You can.
No.
Yeah,
no,
you
no,
can.
No.
Because all
no,
he was
no,
doing,
no,
yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, you can, because all he was doing was putting out what everybody else in Cleveland, Ohio was saying. Hey. He was a man of the people speaking for the people. Hey. You can say that.
Hold on.
Not like Stalin.
Here. I'm going to make it simplistic.
All right.
Me and Liz.
Yes.
We're together 3 years.
Yes.
She invites me and another suitor over.
Okay.
This decision. Mm-hmm. And then she chooses the other suitor. Mm-hmm. I am betrayed. I tell you guys in the back door, never will I be betrayed by a woman like that again. Liz mm-hmm. is trash. This is great. Mm-hmm. Liz goes and gets everything she wants from this guy, a new mm-hmm. Mercedes and everything. Mm-hmm. Then comes back to me. And then I'm like, all's well. I didn't mean that.
No.
It's the same fucking situation.
No, it's not the same situation.
It is not. I hate
it.
It is not.
Brad might have a point because.
Thank you.
I'm just saying that LeBron did kind of fuck Cleveland.
He did.
And they took him back.
Of course they took him back
because he's good at it. Because he's good at it.
Because they needed him.
If you fuck Liz the way LeBron fucked Cleveland, then right. she would take you back and you would be happy
exactly.
about it.
Exactly.
Now we're interchanging the word back and forth. But no, I'm just saying he wrote a letter like that and
right.
then when he took him
because
back, I'm like.
But he took him back because people wanted him back. He was doing what the people wanted. He's a man of the people, unlike Illich, who's only in it for himself.
See, I disagree. You guys are harsher on Illich than you are Gilbert, which
cool.
I think is
I, no,
I'm not
because,
saying I'm for Illich, but I'm just saying.
Well, what I'm saying is if the people of Cleveland ask Dan Gilbert to do something or whatever, ask him to do something, he might actually say, you know what, I'm going to listen to what
you're yelling into the microphone, Jimmy.
You know what, I'm going to listen to what you want. I'm going to listen to what you want, and I might actually do it. Illich says, oh, you want me to do something? Here, let me take your hopes and dreams. I'm going to wipe my ass with it. I'm going to flush it down the toilet.
I would say Dan Gilbert has also done more for the city of Detroit in the, decade that he's been here?
Yeah.
And Illich is a fucking lifelong
yeah.
resident, and he let the Joe, rot away. Yeah. What has Illich done to better the city like Gilbert has done?
Besides putting his name over himself.
What
has Illich done to better the city of Detroit? Well, let's start with that. What has Illich done to better the city of Detroit?
Well, I'm not defending Illich. I don't want...
Mr. Snyder,
don't want
the chair of this committee has asked you a question. You will please answer the question. What has Mike Illich done to better the city of Detroit?
The Fox Theater renovation was a good idea. He was probably the only guy that could do that at the time. Fox Theater is a good renovation.
Okay.
Shouldn't have got rid of Tiger Stadium. They should have tried to improve that.
Mm-hmm.
don't know.
Okay. So what, you got one thing.
The renovation of the Fox Theater, which was done like 30 years ago.
1989. Right.
30 years ago.
About 30 years 89. Ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. What has Dan Gilbert done for the city?
Well,
you're just burying yourself, Brad.
Besides bring his multi-million dollar company downtown.
No.
And by the way,
he's got nothing because he knows he's in the wrong.
Yeah. And as long as we're Brad bashing, how long have we been doing this show?
3 years.
And you're still chewing gum on the microphone.
No. The chewing gum on the microphone is forgivable. It's the never turning off your cell phone in 3 years.
It hasn't gone off today.
No, it hasn't gone off today.
Because all my friends are in this room.
Right, exactly. Because there's nobody you're trying to communicate.
Exactly. Everybody's here that I know.
Right.
I wish Gilbert well. I wish them all well. How about that?
Okay, fine.
Good political
No,
answer.
I mean.
That's right. Very good. Yeah.
I mean, Snyder 2020.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about our governor for a second. I was like,
no.
First of all, why'd you make that leap? And second of all, what are you talking about?
No, him.
That's Snyder.
I just don't think
because he's giving very political answers.
I believe it's not spelled the same, right? You have a different spelling for your name than the governor, right?
No, we're the same.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, same.
So, yeah, honestly, you should run for president. Or,
no.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No. Absolutely.
Not on that name recognition.
No. No, you know.
Matter of fact, I would assume that you drive through Flint real, real fast.
And don't get pulled over.
Pray you don't get pulled over.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you related to that son of a bitch?
I didn't even think they'd ask the question.
These job overestimations, though, where like the Pistons say they're going to bring like 2,000 more jobs and this much more money, I don't believe those.
Yeah, I don't know how that – I mean, like, how is that going to happen? Like, the arena was already there.
And it was already going to get booked. And mind you, those jobs are part-time usher jobs and part-time behind Little Caesar jobs.
I'll tell you the job I
don't – not living jobs.
Right. I'll tell you the job I don't want to have. The person that has to schedule – That arena when you've got hockey and basketball going on.
Yeah. Concert.
Circus. Like, I do not want to be the person that has to do
Disney
that schedule.
No, they'll still use the Joe for the circus.
No, they won't. The Joe's going away.
The Joe's going away. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe's going away.
No, yeah. It's going to be part of the new Kobo for the auto show.
Yeah, he
Liz
right.
Liz is going to cry. She likes the Joe.
He right.
I'll actually, you know, my dad took me to a lot of hockey games. That was our big thing. And then I took my son to the Joe. I will miss the Joe. Is it on the level of like Tiger Stadium when Tiger Stadium went? No, because I think baseball stadiums are a little bit different. But I will miss the Joe. It was so bad, though. I mean,
oh, yeah.
When it was built, it was outdated.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the Joe. The Joe replacement of the Olympia, it was just so bad. But this new district area is going to bring some nightlife. It's going to bring some bars. It's going to bring – it kind of reminds me of what Columbus does. And I'm trying to think when Liz was down there in the Arnold, I don't think she walked around the arena though. It's kind of the same concept, is that there's restaurants and bars surrounding. Now I'll tell you this because I've been down in Columbus when nothing's going down on the arena. Everything's ghost town down there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the district will be lively or if it will be like Columbus when nothing's going on. When the Blue Jackets aren't playing, nothing's going on.
Well, but I think you probably since you have – when there's not a basketball game going on, there's probably going to be a hockey game.
Yep. When there's not a hockey game or a basketball game, there'll be a concert.
You even got a football game or something going right. Just across the street at Ford Field, basically across the street at Ford Field.
You went to Ford Field. You went to Lions game
on Sunday.
Weekend.
Yep. It was my second time ever at Ford Field.
You like it?
Yeah. It was fine. I got into the bathroom right away and.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I was impressed. Normally you go to like stadiums and like there's like four bathrooms for the entire 20,000 people that are there, right? Like I was impressed with the number of bathrooms that were available so I could get right in. There was a guy though that I honestly thought that I started looking around because I thought I was on that show, What Would You Do? Have you guys seen that? Where like they'll like do like these like sociological experiments where like somebody will be in a restaurant like saying like derogatory things to see how other people will react.
Oh no.
And then like, you know, then somebody will come out and be like, oh, you've been on, you know, I thought I was on that show because it was a dude sitting two rows back that was so unbelievably obnoxious, like cursing, like every other word was an F-bomb, like yelling, screaming, like there are kids all around. He's like arguing with people. Yeah. And I'm like, this dude, right? And like, I was ready. I'm like, I told Trace, I'm like, I'm gonna have to do something. And they had a thing up where they were like, you know, unruly, like text, blah, blah, blah. So she texted security and like they asked for a description and stuff. And then a few minutes later, the guy actually got up and left. And then I don't know if like they saw him and said something, because then when he came back, he had a totally different attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, he started and then like backed off.
Yeah.
But that was like probably really the only bad part of it. I mostly liked the facilities. The seats are like close together, like front to back. You know what I mean? Like there's not leg room.
Okay.
It seems like there's less leg room than you have it like at the Joe and things like that. Right, I know like it's always you're a little squished, but like this seemed just like extra like out
something
you had to get up and move if somebody like wanted to come out. There was no like sneaking past. Ford Field is cool, and it's funny, like I don't think there's like necessarily a bad seat there. I mean, certainly, you know, there are better seats, we had a pretty good vantage point. I mean,
Never been to Ford Field.
I've only been twice. Mm-hmm.
I experience a lot of lines there. I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
I experience a lot of lines at Ford Field.
Okay.
I'm just saying that I'm trying to think what bathroom you used there that day.
Lines.
Yeah,
lines. I thought you were saying not lions. I was like,
I see a lot of lions too. Like, about 76 of them.
No, there were a lot. There was a ton of bathrooms. Like,
I'm trying to get the breaking news really quick that the NHL Las Vegas franchise just put out their name. I'm trying to see what we got here.
I'm worried about who the Wings are going to lose in the expansion draft.
Shit.
Is it the Las Vegas Broken Families?
Broken Dreams.
Yeah. The Las Vegas Holes.
Tears of Your Fallen Victims.
The Las Vegas Holes in the Desert.
No, it's going to be
Las Vegas Call Girls.
Rumor is it's going to be the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, okay.
Golden Knights.
Now, here's the thing. It was supposed to be the Nighthawks, but the Blackhawks complained. The Nighthawk is actually the official bird, I think, of Nevada. And then not only that, the Nighthawk, the F-117s that flew Area 51 and stuff, that was pretty cool. But then people were mad because of the Hawks. The Golden Knights thing, obviously, is going to be a playoff.
Did you say the SR-71? That's a Blackhawk.
No, F-117.
Oh, okay. That's the Blackbird, I mean. That's the Blackbird.
The stealth planes that were there all the time. I'm seeing a piece of the jersey. It looks horrible. So I'm hoping for something a lot better really soon.
Well, it won't be long and they'll move to like Washington or something.
Right.
Ooh, I know. That's the thing. Does Las Vegas really, 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 really care?
Vegas, I don't think there's enough people living in Vegas
They just don't care.
I'm just saying, Vegas, who would want to go to like an NHL game to make it worth their while.
It'll be there for a few years, but you know who's going to buy the tickets? The casinos, because like they'll compliment people.
Exactly, and that's what's going to happen. Right.
Here's the thing. What hours?
Hey, you spend a little bit on our blackjack table, you go get to see a Golden Knight show, you know?
Here's the thing. If Liz is the best go-go dancer on the Strip,
mm-hmm.
If I'm the best CEO of the casino, if you're the best dealer,
mm-hmm.
if you're the best sports book, we all work at night. Those are the best hours in Vegas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're selling a team that is at night. So if we're the most successful people, no offense, go-go dancer. If we're the most successful burlesque people, that 2 to 11. We're working that 3 to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the unsuccessful people, the not-so-good-looking cocktail waitresses that work at 11 a.m.
The B shift.
Right. I'm saying
you're talking D shift, dude.
I'm saying in a 24-hour town,
right,
when the best people work late at night, that's tough to have a 40-game season.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
there's not enough people living there that would go to NHL at the time that the games usually are, that it's going to make it worthwhile for them to be there.
They should have plopped a minor league team in there right quick. And
that's what
they
did. Feeder
they
team.
Did. It was Las Vegas Thunder.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't even know
that. So that tells
you
IHL team.
So who are they feeding how good to, that though? Did.
No, they used to. They're no longer there.
There you go.
Radek Bonk was on the team. Manon Raum was on that team.
There, well, so they failed.
Right.
Yeah, it failed.
They played at the Thomas and Mack.
There you go.
I don't want to see the Raiders go there, NHL. I don't, or our NFL team. I don't want to see the Raiders go there. Mm. And I like Vegas as a town.
It's not nothing. No, it's nothing.
Vegas is good, but not for stuff like that.
Right. They don't care.
Yes.
Right. Are there any
that's
other
affect their sports game?
Are there any other professional sports teams?
A lot of boxing and UFC there.
I'm talking like there's no baseball team. There's right, no like there's no right. No. So I don't like. Why do you think hockey? Would
but
be
see
there?
That's just it. See, you were saying there's a lot of boxing and UFC there. That makes sense because people will go to Vegas to watch a boxing or a MMA fight.
Yeah.
Go to the casino, spend money, blah blah blah. Nobody's going to go to watch an NHL game.
Well,
in Vegas.
You know what though? Maybe they will.
Like that.
Not
enough because you have what 40 games.
Here's the thing, though. Like, hey, maybe we should take a trip to Vegas. When do you want to go? Hey, the Wings are playing there.
Yeah,
blah 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 blah. Right, like my buddy moved to New York. Right?
Right,
he moved to Long Island. Right. Well, it's crazy expensive to see the Red Wings play in Detroit. Right.
Right.
But the Islanders suck.
Right.
Or at least they did when he moved
right.
out there.
Yeah.
So like he
could get cheap tickets.
He loved it. He's like, I can go see the Red Wings play for like $11.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So
I can kind of see that, but I don't think it's going to be financially viable for them to keep it
there. I don't think it's
going to
be as successful as you think. You might get some bleed over with people who are like, oh, I'm out here and it's my team.
Right.
I might go see them. But
well.
But you're right. Like, I'm not going to go there just to see the Red Wings play the Golden Nuggets or whatever the
name is. Exactly. And I don't think there's enough of people that would do that where, you know, like you have 40 games where with a boxing or an MMA thing, like those are
a couple big events a year.
A couple big events a year. So you're going to get an influx of people going to see those where you're not going to get that with an NHL team.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the show. Next week, we'll talk about what the name is. It's either going to be Golden Knights or Desert Knights. I like Desert Knight better. Please not Golden Knights. That's horrible.
I don't know, whatever.
That's absolutely horrible. Should have been Nighthawks to begin with. So we want to thank our guests. We had Tommy Benasco in here. We had Mickey Marsak in here. We talked Kovalev Ward. Lomachenko versus Walters happens this weekend. I'm guaranteeing a knockout. I haven't made my pick yet. I got to see the weigh-ins and what happens in the weigh-ins. We want to thank Activate Gaming, and we want to thank Falling Down Beer Company. We will be back next week, episode 214, and we'll start celebrating Christmas the only way we know how to, where we start wrapping down the year and talking about the year that was in MMA and boxing. And let's not forget Ronda Rousey fights later this year.
Hmm.
And I don't think she has the stuff anymore. I'm just saying it.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I think she's lost the edge.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Her movies got canceled. Did you hear that? Or they're on pause.
Oh, yeah.
Which means we used to do pause.
What's that?
we used to do stuff. Like pause means not happening.
Yeah,
never happen.
Pause is a very nice way of saying
the films aren't going to happen.
Yeah,
so Roadhouse is now on a pause in something else is on a pause.
Yeah.
She doesn't have the markability she used to have.
Mm.
Conor McGregor's everywhere.
Yeah,
just everywhere.
They do a pause just so they don't have to actually pay out the contract. If they actually cancel the movie, they still have to pay out the contract. If they pause it, they have at least a certain amount of time to figure it out.
Yeah. Home Alone 7 still on pause. That's awesome.
Yeah,
so exactly. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody.
All right, bye-bye.